Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never sacrifice your faith in the living words of Jesus on the altar of human reasoning or systematic dispensational theology. Such philosophies attempt to explain away the availability of God's miracle-working power for today, and unbelief is a hindrance to that power, which can also save a person's soul. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 9 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 14 through 29.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy.
There are no doubts in my mind that others may have told him that it must be God's will for your son to be in that condition, because he's had it since he was a child, and look at, nothing's changed. There's no doubt in my mind that there may have been others that would have said to the father, it must be God's will for him to remain in that condition, because you see, you brought your son to the elders of the church, they prayed for him, and that didn't work. What if the father listened to any of those reports? What if Jesus didn't show up? You know, but he does show up, and he's here right now. You know, he says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Now, the father didn't say, what does that mean in Greek? Oh, excuse me, you're speaking Aramaic. Bring him unto me. The father in verse 22 says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, it's amazing what commentators will do when you get to a section, some words of Jesus like this. They don't know what to do. They just begin to freak out. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And by and large, most of them begin to explain away what Jesus said. Well, he said that, but he really didn't mean that. That's essentially what they're saying. Jesus said, actually, it can be interpreted as a response to the Father. If you can believe, if you can do anything. And it can be responded to this way. If you can, all things are possible to him that believes. Jesus didn't say, all things are possible if you are an apostle. All things are possible to him that believes. I have in my Bible, in large print, all of these passages of Scripture that drive people crazy. Words of Jesus. I've got it up here. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I don't get the Sunday morning newspaper, but I don't need the comic section. All I got to do is read any of these sections of Scripture and then pick up a commentary, and it'll get me laughing uncontrollably what they do with these. Jesus said, I have a little bit more time with you guys because it's the afternoon. Jesus said in Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Well, no, he didn't really say that. He didn't really mean that. In Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Matthew 21, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that which is done to the fig tree, but if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. It's amazing what they say. Well, he didn't really mean that. Here's one that I really like. Here's one of my favorite ones. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Let's just start there. And greater works than these shall I do, because I go to my Father. What did he mean? I suggest to you he meant what he said. Okay, you guys look really enthused. You see, here's the thing. You know what we've done now? We've got the words of Jesus. There's spirit in their life. And we put a question mark over God's head instead of over us. We question His goodness, His power, His faithfulness, His ability. We project our weaknesses upon our God. Don't do that. Don't do that, beloved. Now, Matthew, in his parallel section of Scripture, at this juncture, after Jesus says all things are possible for him that believe, Matthew 17, 20, Jesus said unto them, they asked him, why couldn't we cast him out? Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Isn't it amazing? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I have on my desk a jar of mustard seeds. I should go get them and give every one of you one. Right? If you have, as a grain of mustard seed, eensy, eensy, weensy, little. Faith. Now, faith, not faith in your faith. That's nonsense. Faith in God. If you have just a little eensy, weensy faith in me, you can say to the mountain, sometimes the mountain's in our heart. It's my doubt. It's my unbelief. Jesus said, follow me. Jesus said, believe me. You know what we do? We think that Jesus said, analyze me. Run that through a word search. What does the word believe mean? If you can believe, what's possible? You see, you know what's happened? We've so fed the theology of darkness and unbelief that we've diminished the promises of God to our level of understanding. Never sacrifice the promises of God or the power of God on the altar of human reasoning. Now, this is a bona fide miracle. Right? This is a bona fide miracle. Is it not, Paul? It's a miracle. Now, no doubt some scribe or some legalist would have said, well, where do you see that in the Bible? You realize every miracle that you find in the Bible, beginning from Genesis on, was never recorded in the Bible? God does a lot of unusual things. And you ever discovered he never fits into your pattern? As soon as you think you've got him locked down, he goes, oh, Raymond, well, I got a surprise for you, pal. Watch how I'm going to do this, son. Do you believe in the miracle working power of God? You see, we've got faith in medicine. We've got faith in man. Jesus said, have faith in God. There's nothing wrong with medicine. Thank God for doctors. Jesus didn't say, analyze me. He said, believe me. The Father said in tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Charles Spurgeon said this, while men have no faith, they are unconscious of their unbelief. But as soon as they get a little faith, then they begin to be conscious of the greatness of their unbelief. Oh, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Let me ask you a question. Did not God tell the nation of Israel that he prepared a land for them, a promised land, and it was theirs to have? Right? Why didn't they enter into the promised land? Was it because it wasn't God's will? No. Why didn't they enter in? Because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. Again, never put the question mark over God's goodness, God's character, or God's power. I will always put the question mark over my head. I'm not going to diminish what God says. God says what he means what he says. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. But like this Father, I say, Lord, increase my faith in you today. And so Jesus reaches down and he takes the lad by the hand and he arises. I'm so glad that Jesus still takes people by the hand that are messed up or in the grip of demonic power and lifts them up. Aren't you glad? There is deliverance today, beloved, over every and any demonic power in the name of Jesus Christ. So the disciples, obviously, a little bit confused by what happened, they walk into the house and they say, Jesus, why couldn't we cast this demon out? And Jesus said, this kind does not go out but by prayer and fasting. Okay, so let's connect the dots. These guys had been anointed by God to cast out devils. Now, if you think that that's only for apostles, just read the section of scripture at the end of the Gospel of Mark that people say don't belong in the Bible. In my name they shall cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues. It's in the Bible. Right? It's in the Bible. So this isn't just an apostolic thing here. Okay? Jesus said, this kind does not come up but by prayer and fasting. There are ranks of demons. There's different levels of power. Now, if I were there, I probably would have asked Jesus this question or said this to Jesus. Well, why didn't you tell me that before you went up to the mountain? Then I would have lived in prayer and fasting and not been surprised by the demonic attack. How many of you know that when the devil's going to attack you, he doesn't send you a text message? Hey, Paul, I'm going to attack you at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I just thought I'd give you fair warning. I love you, Beelzebub. You know what the lesson is? We are to be living a life of intimacy with the Lord, hearing Him, talking to Him, praying intensely before a crisis, that when the crisis comes, you're ready to deal with it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be gone. That's not the time to get Pentecostal. That's not the time to be charismatic on the spot. You see, when God wants us to live in that intimacy and communion with Him so that when it happens, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when the enemy fires away, you and I are in that place to resist in the name of Jesus. That's biblical. You get that? So Jesus is telling us, stay close to me. Stay intimate with me. Stay connected with me. I am the source of your power. I'm the source of your life. I'm the source of your strength. Do you believe that today? C.S. Lewis, in his essay, The Grand Miracle, said this. The Christian story is precisely the story of one grand miracle. The Christian assertion being that what is beyond all space and time, what is uncreated, eternal, came into nature, into human nature, descended into his own universe, and rose again, bringing nature up with him. It is precisely one great miracle. If you take that away, there is nothing specifically Christian left. There may be many admirable human things which Christianity shares with all other systems in the world, but there would be nothing specifically Christian. Conversely, once you have accepted that, then you will see that all other miracles result from the incarnation. Just as every natural event exhibits the total character of the natural universe at a particular point and space of time, so every miracle exhibits the character of the incarnation. And then Lewis says, do you believe in miracles? Are you captivated by the miraculous work of Christ? And listen to this. And C.S. Lewis was an intellectual genius. Very analytical. But he was also spirit-filled. Listen to what he says. To be Christian is to accept the one grand miracle and to believe that the God who was and is to come can and will continue to work the miraculous in our lives and in the life of His church. He works today. Now, I know that that blows away some theological systems, but don't put God in a system. He is forever God. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. And I'm so glad that He is a God that does miracles today, that intervenes today, that would say to you and me today, bring Him, bring them to me. You know what the greatest miracle of all in the Bible is? The greatest miracle of all, other than Christ Himself being raised from the dead, is the miracle of the new birth. That's the greatest miracle. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I heard one guy say, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. That's what legalists do. They'll condemn you. They'll point the finger at you. They'll accuse you. They'll make you feel like lesser than dirt. They'll condemn you. That's never the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God never condemns you. The Spirit of God never makes you feel guilty. The Spirit of God never makes you feel filthy. He will convict you. He will make you feel uncomfortable, but he will never condemn you. He'll never condemn you. He'll never make you feel guilty. He'll convict you to bring you to a place of repentance and draw you to him. God sent his son into the world that we might be saved through faith in him. God sent his son to reclaim, restore, revive, and regenerate fallen man and bring them back to a loving relationship with him. Do you believe that today? We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. Our God was so gracious and merciful. Now, what is the unpardonable sin? What's the unpardonable sin? Jesus said in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 9, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. Now, when we talk about sin, we normally think about what? Lying, stealing, cheating, drunkenness, pornography, drug addiction, fornication, murder. That all comes to mind. That's sin. No doubt, that's sin. We often think of breaking the Ten Commandments. And so when the Lord tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to reprove the world of sin, we might expect him to say that he will convict sinners of their lying, their stealing, their cheating, their drunkenness, their pornography, their drug addiction, their fornication and murder. But he doesn't say any of that. You know what he says? He says he will convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. That and that alone is the one sin singularly that will send a person to hell forever. It's none of the other stuff. It's none of the other stuff. There will be no other charges brought up. In other words, the destiny of your eternal soul boils down to a single issue. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in him for your salvation? The Bible says that if we do not believe the testimony of the Father regarding his son, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God and the only way to heaven, we are calling God a liar. I want to say to you today, there are millions of religious, devout people on earth that when it comes to God's, the Father's record of Jesus Christ being the Son of God and the only way to heaven, they are calling God a liar. Because they think, well, I'm sincere, even though I don't believe he's the Son of God, even though I don't believe that he is God, but I'm sincere. Sincerity doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So what is that, how do you place that alongside with all roads lead to God? No, they won't. Any road that says you can go to heaven apart from faith in Jesus Christ is calling God a liar. Liars are not going to go to the kingdom of God. Amen? I love how clear the word of God is. It's like so clear. Swabs the deck. How many of you know that Jesus wasn't concerned with being politically correct? Yeah, he's not. If Jesus came to earth, it wouldn't take him. Now, and preach the same things that he preached in the scriptures, wouldn't take him 3 years to do away with them. They'd probably crucify him in 3 weeks. So, let me close with this. In Acts chapter 16, and here again is the simplicity of the gospel. It is so simple that a child can understand it. It is so simple that a brilliant mind like C.S. Lewis can grasp it. Paul and Silas are in prison in Philippi because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They're in prison, and it's about midnight. They're beaten, they're bloodied, they're in very uncomfortable situations, and at midnight, they start praying and singing. You know, I wish to God that when I'm in my prison, I would learn to pray and sing instead of pout. And so, there's this great earthquake. and all of the prison cells are open, and some of the other prisoners are now, their prison cells open. They can go. And so the Philippian jailer, his concern is this. They get away, he gets executed. He's responsible for them. Paul says, we're okay. Don't harm yourself. He wanted to kill him. Don't harm yourself. We're okay. Then the man says, what must I do to be saved? What a question, right? What must I do to be saved? So what did Paul and Silas say to him? Well, get your act together and then Jesus will forgive you. Go out and do a lot of good works and then Jesus will forgive you. Give lots of money to the church or donate to some good causes and Jesus will forgive you. What did he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your house. Simple. Did he mean that? Of course he did. Belief means that you place the full weight of your trust for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sin upon the person of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, you ask him not only to forgive you, but to come and to live inside of you that you may now live the rest of your life for him and for his glory. Have you been born again? If you have to think, if you have to think, do you have to think that you've been born the first time? You have to think about it? You're here. You're really here. When you're born again, something, God does something in you that, God does it. Right? Today may be the day of salvation for you. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Call upon his name. I want to close and pray for you guys. I do not have to be a prophet of God to say that probably most of you are dealing with situations that may be deemed impossible, difficult. You may know loved ones that are in the grips of the enemy, grips of addiction, grips of unbelief. And I want to say to you today, in the name of Jesus, to trust him. And don't give up trusting him. Just trust him to touch those individuals. Pray and bring them to Jesus. And don't quit. What he did here, he still does today. You wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here today if someone did not pray and believe in God for us. Don't give in. Don't give up. Pray without ceasing. Say, Lord, I give this situation to you. I'm trusting in you. You see, we get so impressed with darkness these days that we just throw in the towel as the church. What's the use? You know, when you enter into a dark room and you flip on the light switch, darkness doesn't gradually disappear. It goes away. Just ask the Lord to shine the power of his light in that situation and trust him and trust him and trust him and thank him and praise him today. And Father, we ask you to do this. I ask you to do this for every soul in this room today. And Lord, what I mean is white noise. What I say is white noise. What you mean is the matter of heaven or hell, life or death. Breathe life into these saints and breathe out, Lord God, the power that they are asking you for in their own lives, in the lives of a loved one, Lord, to be delivered, to be set free from the powers of darkness, from the powers of sin, that they may be saved, that they may be renewed, that they may be revived, that they may live their lives, Lord, for you and the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.